The Home Show with Tom Tynan podcast is made possible thanks to our partners like Overhead Door Company of Houston, the original authentic Overhead Door Company of Houston.
I'm a hard-working man, working man, working man.
Good morning, Houston. Let's get you from to-do to done right now.
I can ride rope, a hammer and paint, do things with my hands that most men can't. I'm a hard-working man.
Need help with your to-dos? Or someone you can trust to do it for you? We're here for you. Home Show Radio continues with Tom Tynan.
And we continue on with hour number two of the three-hour edition of Home Show Radio here on Sports Radio 610. We'll be with you till noon today. All right, we have open lines, 713-572-4610, and we will talk. Let's get back to the calls, and let's talk to Trent. Trent, you're on Home Show Radio.
Yes, good morning, Tom. I just called a few moments ago, and I've got a follow-up question for you. It was regarding the water on the laminate flooring.
Yes.
Just to clarify, that water was coming up from underneath. It wasn't rolling on top, and then I mopped it up.
Mm-hmm.
This was underneath. You know, it was underneath, and if I stepped on the floor, it would squish out.
Yes.
From like the seam, you know, between the tile of the bathroom and the floor, the laminate flooring. So I just wanted to make sure that I was clear with that.
Yeah, no, that's
so
happened to me.
No reason to call anybody out.
That's it. That happened to me a couple times with my laminate floor in my kitchen from a ice maker and a dishwasher. And I would step on it and it would squish all out. Yes, I know exactly what's going on.
Okay, great. All right. And then secondly, that shower was running this morning and we got no leaking underneath that tub. Seems to be only when it's full of water. Is that due to this just the seal around the drain that's getting all that pressure from the weight of the water?
Could be.
Okay.
I think I'd have it
one
checked.
Way or the other, I'm sorry?
You also have that idiot hole with that overflow hole, and that might be broken too. So if you're filling that thing all really high and it goes above that, it could be leaking out of that.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see that. It wasn't filled that high, but
okay.
So we need to replace that seal around the drain, correct?
I don't know if that's what it is, yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you, sir.
You bet. All right, 713-572-4610. And always call Abacus Plumbing if you're not sure. So plumbers, you know, nobody wants to call anybody, but once in a while you have to. You got plumbers, we got electricians, we got everybody at homeshowradio.com, so we'd like you to use them. And when you're just not sure, don't take a chance, okay? Let's talk to Ken. Ken, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Yes, sir.
Kind of hang some gutters on my house here. They're not long runs or anything, just over the walkways and things. It's built in the mid-1980s in this neighborhood, and a lot of the homes in the neighborhood, the gutters are kind of falling off, and I noticed they were all tacked up over the drip guard. I recently had the new Hardy Plank soffit and fascia put up, and I'm thinking I need to change to put the gutter under the drip edge, but none of these in the neighborhood do, and a lot of them are falling off. And I'm wondering if I put it under the drip edge and the gutter start to pull out like these are, is it going to pull my drip edge off?
Well, the reason they're all falling apart is because they're all spiked. They have those big spikes. Don't use those. They'll fall off anything. They don't hold. That's the big reason. They used those in the 80s in all those homes, and it was all garbage. And the only reason they did it was for the FHA financing. So don't use spikes. Get it professionally done, or you know, with a seamless gutter and the brackets, and have it detailed properly.
Okay. Well, I did the front, or I did the one side, and I got those screw brackets that go in, and I tucked it under the under the drip edge. I just want to make sure I should go under the drip edge, or
yeah, if you got the detail for it, that's fine. Yeah, usually that's what you usually do. If your soffit area is detailed properly and you have the 1x2 with the DL style drip edge, and so you put it up under that 1x2, and so that way it catches all the water. But that's how you properly need to detail that thing.
I just want to make sure I was doing it right. Thank you, sir.
And stay away from the spikes. You got it. 713-572-4610. Cutting Edge Tile Removal is the company you call when you want to get rid of it. Most of the time we tell you, call these people because you want to bring it in. You want new floors. You want remodeled kitchens and bathrooms. Not in this case. This is pre-bringing the stuff in. cutting-edge tile removal. If you have stone, flagstone, Sautéo. Sautéo is a thing that's come and gone, so to get rid of it is a mess unless you deal with the professionals. Tile, travertine, slate, porcelain, marble, doesn't matter. When it comes to floor coverings, they take out the thin set, they take out the mud float, they take out the grout, and they take out the tile or whatever it is or stone, and it's dust-free. It all gets sucked away, and they drive away with it. Nothing's left in your home but a nice, clean floor for you to start bringing back with another floor you want. They don't put the floor in. They take the floor out. And they're the only ones in town that can do it. It's proprietary. Nobody else can do it. And if you're a contractor, a floor covering people that you have to deal with this all the time, offer this to your client. If you're a homeowner and you're getting ready to do this, call them. Either way, if you're a facilities manager and you're in charge of the maintenance side of a major hotel or who knows, call them if you're going to be doing remodeling. That way it's going to keep the dust down and everybody's going to be happy and they can work around it and it'll be fine. It's just what it's about, cutting-edge tile removal. To find out more about them, go to homeshoradio.com and hit their icon in their website. And you'll see a video how it works, and it's pretty impressive. That's Cutting Edge Tile. Give them a call. Cutting Edge Tile Removal, 877-8-NO-DUST. And we continue on with Home Show Radio. Open line, 713-572-4610. Talking home improvements and all the other good stuff we do. Remember, we have homeshowradio.com. It's full of videos and all kinds of information. It's constantly being upgraded and updated, and it's easy to use. It's user-friendly, and we even have a YouTube channel. We've got 37,000 Facebook followers. It's a big deal, so you get a lot out of it. So don't be afraid to go through the computer and take a look at some of this stuff. All right, let's talk to John. John, you're on Home Show Radio.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Is there a preferred type of sheetrock to install in a bathroom that's mold and mildew resistant?
Not really. You might have heard of the sheetrock, which is called green rock. It is a water-resistant board, but it's not mold. You'll still get mold and mildew because once it's painted, it grows on the paint. It has nothing to do with the sheetrock itself because it's all been textured and painted by that point. So the paint you choose is more important than the sheetrock. Now, we use the green rock behind cabinets and stuff where we have penetrations. And if you ever get a little water leak or something, that little dripping thing, it'll hold up better. But as far as that goes, no, it's not the sheetrock that gets the mold and mildew. It's usually the paint.
Okay. I've heard you mention before about different types of texture. Can you tell me what your preference was for the ceiling and the wall?
For me, I like a medium stomp and drag on the ceiling. And I like a light orange peel on the wall. That's always been my preference. It's really just a preference thing, but that's what I always ask my clients, and they wanted my recommendation. That's what we do. That's what I did in my own house. I just think it's a clean look.
Okay, and do you wait and prime after the texture has been applied?
It depends. If you're using a flat paint, which I prefer to use, you don't have to prime. If you're going to use a eggshell or anything even more of a sheen, satin, so to speak, then you usually have to use a primer because it doesn't cover as well. And the way to choose which you're going to use is this, is if you are a wall washer when it gets dirty, then you're going to want to use like an eggshell or a satin. If, like me, you go around and just touch up and want the paint to blend, then you use a flat paint. Now, I just go around and touch up all the marks and stuff, and that way it'll blend. You can't do that with the satins or the eggshells because it'll show a lap mark. In other words, the sheens will be different, and you'll see where you touched it up.
Okay, so you're saying even if it's bare drywall and you're going with a flat paint, you don't need to prime the drywall?
Not with a flat paint because the flat paint covers really well. The flat paint is a primer. And quite frankly, a primer for sheetrock is nothing more than a flat paint with a pigment in it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. One more question. I'm using a Vantec to replace the subfloor. What type of adhesive do you recommend to put down?
For what now? I missed something.
For putting down the Vantec on to replace the subfloor, do you still recommend a Vantec?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I haven't heard that name in a while. For the construction adhesive is what you use?
Yes, okay.
So it comes in a big caulk tube, and you just put it on top of the joist, put that stuff down, and then screw it or nail it down.
Okay, is there a brand that you can tell me?
No, actually, it's called construction adhesive. It really is. And it'll be in a brown caulk tube. And it's not liquid nails or something like that. It is actually a construction adhesive, and it says it on the tube. I think it's made by DAP, but I could be wrong. But that's how it's always labeled on the caulk tube, construction adhesive. And you'll find it in the construction side of the Home Depots and Lowe's. And if you're doing a lot of it, you'll get the big tubes. But I don't think if in a bathroom you're doing a lot, you're doing just a little, then you won't need the great big tubes.
Right.
But make sure you get a good bead down, okay? Don't leave any voids.
All right. Appreciate your help, Tom.
The construction adhesive is an adhesive, and the like the liquid nails, that's a panel adhesive. That's not near as strong. So there is a big difference between the two when you're going to be doing different jobs. It's not one size fits all by any means. So if you're going to do it well, do it right, then follow the rules, and the rules are always good. All right, let's talk to Brian. Brian, you're on Home Show Radio.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I got a quick question. My house was built in 2006, and it's kind of in a U shape. And one wing, I guess I'll call it a wing, is my master closet. The other side is my daughter's bedroom. And the temperature fluctuation between that bedroom and the living room can be, you know, 5 degrees. Is there something I could do to balance that air a little bit better?
I'm sure you can. If you have, when you have your spring checkup, have them do a static air pressure test on there, and they're going to have to do something, whether it's add return airs, readjust the dampers. I'm not sure exactly what the system is like, but there's certainly something you can do to balance the system. Have somebody do it. Yes.
Yeah, because I have no dampers coming from the plenum. It's 1 8-inch flex hitting three different rooms going down that hallway, and my daughter's room is the very end.
And that's a problem. That's okay. Not how you're supposed to do duct work, so that has to be redone.
Okay. If I were to add just a supply or a return in her room, would that help?
I don't know. It's not something that you guess with. You need to get someone who understands what's going on. But usually when you have a line that goes in three different directions off of one duct coming from your plenum, that's usually a problem. Usually they have to get rid of them and go more direct. Probably go a direct line to your daughter's room is going to be the answer. Maybe a return air down there too. You can't have too many return airs. That's important. But it sounds to me if that duct is going in three different directions off of one connection, that's a problem that happens in a lot of poor installations.
Okay.
Call Absolute Comfort Air and have Rick come out and do a static air pressure test and you're going to get your 19-point checkup now anyway. And he can go over what the problem is. It might be very simple for him to fix, but I don't want to tell you to start doing things because it might not be the fix, and there's no way I can know this side of a microphone.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, sir.
All right, let's continue on with Theosilis. Theosilis, you are on Home Show Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, when I was born, they named me Theophilus because I was the awfulest thing they had ever seen.
Oh, well, there you go. What is that?
Long time caller, first time listener.
Okay, that's backwards, but that'll work.
Well, you know, some of us are back.
Okay.
I just wanted to call and thank you. What, almost 40 years, but the fact that you chose to serve again by going and signing up and serving, that's a really big deal, and I just wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Bless you.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, no, I'm in the Texas State Guard. I'm in my uniform right now. I'm over at the Westheimer Armory today. But remember, I'm old, so I'm not a combat soldier. We do relief and rescue the Texas State Guard. We work within the state. We are part of the Army, where they just reorganized everything, and I'm now with the 2nd Brigade. They got rid of the 8th Regiment, but I got all new commanding officers and things. It's pretty interesting, and it seems to be working out well. I got reassigned just now back to the Westheimer Armory. I was at Ellington, and we kind of do the educational side. With all the recruits come in, we train them on the protocols of being a soldier. Because some of them are brand new. Some of them most of them are retired soldiers that have come back to serve again because they missed it. But it's quite the thing. We have 3,000 members right now, and we're looking for 2,000 more. We do things like in Hurricane Harvey, we rescued maybe 1,000 families, set up all the shelters. Right today we're training on what we call PODs, points of delivery. That's what I'm looking for. Points of delivery where we deliver water. We just had 140 of our soldiers over in Beaumont, and helping people with Tropical Storm Imelda after all the floods. And they had a bunch of PODs out there, and they were just giving out water and blankets and anything we can do to help. But it is a military part of – it's a military organization, it is true. And we go by the rules and regulations of such. So, and we do support the National State Guard. And I do believe we've had some people down on the border, well, in the shelters and stuff, taking care of that mess down there. So it's my pleasure to do that. And there's a lot of us out there that do it that you guys don't know about. But if you ever want to join, you can. All right. Let's talk about Circle Saw. Circle Saw. Since 1954, Saw began near downtown. They're still downtown. Well, not quite as downtown as they used to be. They're at Ella and North 610 Loop. But they continue with the same mission that they did at the very beginning. Solve the customer's problems. That's what they do. Family still runs it. They're solving problems every day. They've got experts in there, old school way, whether it's sharpening saw blades, selling you the latest and greatest tools, cutting heads, you name it. They do it, and they do it well. They fix gasoline-powered equipment like weed eaters and things of that nature. So they're full service. They solve your problem. So go by and see them. If you're looking for a great tool, if you're looking for some tool advice, go to Circle Saw, located at 2510 Ella Boulevard, inside North Loop 610. That's 2510 Ella Boulevard, inside North Loop 610.
Now, back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
And we continue on with Home Show Radio here on Sports Radio 610. Let's see here. Let's talk to Jason. Jason, you're on Home Show Radio.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm fine, sir.
I just bought a house in Magnolia, Montgomery County, and I'm a volunteer at Living Water. We drill water wells in Africa and South America for people that don't have clean water. It's a great organization.
I've heard of the organization. Good for you. Thanks for helping.
Yeah, no problem. I guess my question is, if I wanted to put in a water well myself at my new home, is that allowed, or is that controlled by Montgomery County?
It's controlled by the counties, but, and I've never, I've done this 32 years, this is the first time I've gotten this question. I don't know if they have a homeowner's provision where you can do it yourself if you want. I bet you they do. You might have to go talk to them, but in most municipalities, whether it's counties or cities, yes, you have to have a licensed person if you're going to hire someone to do it, and they have to follow certain rules and regulations. If you're a do-it-yourself and you're doing it on your own property, they usually have a provision where you can do certain things and do it legally with everybody's approval, but I'm not sure about water wells, and I'm not sure about septic systems, but usually there is.
Yeah, when I lived in Arkansas, we had a water well we dug ourselves, and there's a company here in outside Houston, Ballard, they do a lot of water well work as well, and it seems like it's something that a lot more people should be doing with the caller before. Getting down 70 or 80 feet or 40 feet, however deep it was. Yeah, go deeper than that, I think.
No, he said 140. That's gross. You got to go way deeper than that down there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for answering my question, Tom. I appreciate it, man.
You're very welcome. Now, sometimes in the old days, they don't allow this city of Houston, but you could dig a water well in your property in the city just for your irrigation, so you wouldn't have to pay for it, and you wouldn't have to go that deep. Water doesn't have to be super clean for the grass and stuff, just for drinking and whatnot. But in some cases, if you're in a mud district, I know I am, they would never let me dig one on my property. So it depends on what the rules are, so you always have to ask. All right, let's see here. Let's talk to Charlie. Charlie, you're on Home Show Radio.
Morning, Tom. How are you?
I am good.
Quick plumbing question for you. My house was built in 1990, and it has the valves underneath the sinks. They're kind of like oval-shaped.
Yes.
And we had a water main break in the neighborhood, and I was about to go out of town that night, turn my water off because I didn't want anything weird happening. Came home 4 days later, water main was fixed, turned my water back on, and then I noticed about 10 minutes later one of my valves under a sink was leaking pretty bad. I turned it off, tried to check it out, see what the heck was going on, turned it back on, and the thing hadn't leaked in 2 weeks. So it kind of had me concerned, or, you know, so what are your thoughts on something like that?
I think your packing nut got loose, and when you shut it off, it tightened it back up. Behind the handle, there's a little nut on the stem, and you might, if it's leaking, it probably usually leaks from right there, and I think it was loose, and when you turned it off, it naturally tightened itself a little bit, and then when you opened it back up, it hasn't leaked since. But if you can put a little wrench on there and just tighten that nut a little bit, I think that's all it is.
Okay, because I'm just wondering, man. I was kind of worried about the rest of the valves in the house. Thought maybe there was some kind of seals that might be wearing with time or something.
Well, they have washers in them. So, but what happens usually is it's two places it can leak. One is if you have, it depends what kind you have, but usually that little packing, that little nut behind the stem behind the handle that you turn on and off, it can get loose and it'll leak there. When the other time when it leaks, it's not leaking outside of it, it'll leak inside, so when you turn it off, it still has water coming through it, and that's when the washer goes bad inside, just like a faucet. So those are the two types of leaks you have. One is on exterior on the packing nut, and the other one is interior on the washer.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and sometimes they just get a little dried out, and if you just close it and open it again, don't open it all the way. So it's open tight, just open it and it'll move that little, the little washers and stuff, and just move them back into place. So I think that's all it is. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Let's see, Absolute Comfort Air will come out and take care of your air conditioning system, because I know it was cold last week, or the beginning of this week, I should say. Yeah, because Monday, but it's going to get hot. You know how I know? Because the trees are pollinating this orange weird powder all over the place. And everybody is sneezing and stuff. We have an early spring coming up. You can just tell. You got to watch Mother Nature. They're the ones. She's the one, I guess, that always tells the story. That and the animals, the squirrels and stuff. So we're going to get, it's going to get hot here pretty quick. And it's time to have your air conditioning system checked. So if you need any work done on it, you're not having to suffer through hot days because you were postponing what should have been done earlier. Absolute Comfort Air takes a lot of pride in keeping those old systems running. It's not that difficult to do. So you don't always have to buy a new one. If you need to, you can. They'll put one in and put a great one in for you. But get that 19-point checkup here in the next 4 weeks, okay? And call Absolute Comfort Air, because they're the ones that's going to take care of you and tell you if what's going on and what's wrong and what's not wrong and all that good stuff. And just be preventative. Use a preventative maintenance program on it, and you'll never break down, or you might eventually, but it's always good to do that, because you won't have the breakdowns that a lot of people have because they just let it go and go and go. They're still running. I'm not going to touch it. No, you have to do that, because if not, it'll kind of just shut itself down, and you're going to have to pay a lot of money to fix it or change it. Do a preventative maintenance program. Call Absolute Comfort Air.
Now back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
And we will talk today till noon on Sports Radio 610 here on Home Show Radio. That's what we want to talk about. So call me and we will. Let's talk to Tom. Tom, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Tom? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I had a question for you. I got a two-bedroom townhouse, and it's like me and my wife, when we take baths or shower, the hot water only stays on maybe 5 or 10 minutes, then it turns back cold. So I went up in the attic to look at the water heater, and I was wondering, I want to ask you, if I turn it all the way where it says hottest, would that put too much pressure on it or burst it or anything since it's in the attic?
No, and I don't think it's the water heater. When you go, before you go do that, if you go anywhere else in the house and turn it on, does it stay hot?
Yeah, it pretty much stays hot in the kitchen.
Okay, let's say it stays hot in the kitchen all the time, and you're in your bathtub and it goes from hot to cold. The water heater's fine because it's still heating water. It's something to do with your faucet. The faucet is crossing over. If it's a single-handle faucet, it's crossing over, so it's the cartridge in the faucet. It's not the water heater. So no matter how much you turn it up, if the cartridge has gone bad, it's going to cross over, and all of a sudden you'll get cold water.
Yeah, that's what it does.
Especially if it's real quick, all of a sudden it goes cold. It's your faucet. Your faucet has to probably need a new cartridge in it.
How would I do that? Do I have to call a plumber?
Well, that's up to you. You'd have to take the whole thing apart and rebuild the faucet. If you want to call a plumber, you certainly can. For me to tell you exactly what part to buy and this and that, I can't, because all the faucets are different. And okay. It's not something that's universal. You just go buy a kit. You have to know what the brand of the faucet is and exactly what's wrong with it. But I can tell you this, it's not your water heater. That's good, because it's a lot cheaper just to get your faucet cartridge replaced.
So it's not the water heater, huh?
Yeah. Not if you have hot water or somewhere else, because that means it's still heating water.
The one time I turned in the water heater all the way up, and we took a bath and shower, it stayed hot longer, but my wife said, I think you might need to turn it on, but I asked a couple of people, and they were telling me I shouldn't turn it up too high.
Well, you should turn it up to where the temperature is about 130 degrees. So if you want to turn it up to get it to be 130 degrees, that's fine. That's where it should be. Some water heaters are down as low as 110. That's not good. So if you want to turn it up and you just want to get a thermometer, run the water in a cup, put a thermometer in that cup, and get it to where it's consistently 130 and doesn't get hotter, that's exactly where it should be.
Okay, because I went up there and looked at it. It just has like hot, then it has like
yes.
cold in the middle, and then it has hottest. That's all I saw on it.
That's all it's going to show you. It's not going to have a thermometer where you see it. You're going to have to do that on your own somewhere in your kitchen or wherever you want to do it. But you're going to have to run that hot water for a long period of time and just put a thermometer in there and set it to where it gets to 130 degrees and stays there. Not hotter and not colder, but just stays there at about 130, 135. Once you go over that, you run into trouble. But I really don't think that's your problem. But if you want to do that, I mean, I'm not going to stop you. I don't think it's going to solve what you need to be solved. So
I think it's
your faucet.
It probably wouldn't be too safe to put it all the way to hottest, though, huh?
It doesn't make any sense to do that. No, you'll scald yourself, and then your pop-off valve will start blowing up. It makes no sense. That's not – if you have a problem, you fix the problem.
Okay.
Just think of it that way. Doing something else because you think it's going to, you know, even if you know it's not going to work, but doing it, that doesn't make any sense. Don't do that because it's going to do harm and not good.
Okay, I'm going to just call the plumber out then. All right, I appreciate it.
That, of course, would be Abacus Plumbing. You should count on them. So give them a call and let them fix it. All right, let's talk to Tony. Tony, you're on Home Show Radio.
Yes, I had a question for you about insulation. I've heard you talk, we have foam insulation in our house. We had it in our last house and we like it a lot, but I've heard you say some, you know, you don't, I can't remember why, but I don't think you liked it too much. Could you tell me why? Cause we're looking to get a house built and most of the custom builders, they don't do the foam. And my wife's kind of, you know, she likes it just cause it keeps the house really well insulated. So I want to tell her why that's going to be okay.
That's why custom builders don't do it, cause they know better. And I was a custom builder. I would never use foam. If you're a client of mine and you say, well, I want foam and that's it, I would say you'll have to find another builder. It makes a house unhealthy. It's quiet and it really foams up the walls, but it doesn't breathe and it doesn't do what the insulation needs to do. And you can't use radiant barriers with it. There's a lot of problems with it. It's just not, it's the wrong climate for living in a styrofoam igloo, right down to the quality of the air and the dehumidification problems you get and things of that nature.
Really? Okay. And that kind of leads to my second point, or my second question. So in our shower, you know, we're fairly clean people, but we get a lot of mold buildup really quickly. Like it seems like way quicker than ever. And do you think that has anything to do with it?
Yes.
As far as the house not breathing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good example. That's one. And then if you do the attic rafters, you can't have a radiant barrier, then the attic can't breathe. All the moisture gets up there. I've seen people have to rip it out because the ductwork is sweating, and they have to try to put in dehumidifiers in the attic to control it. And it's just more and more equipment that just doesn't make any sense.
Why can't you put in the radiant barrier with foam? It's not there. You're right. I mean, I just...
If the foam is on between the rafters above your head, that's where they're usually putting it. They're sealing up the attic, then there's no way to attach. You can't make it even more tight. That's crazy. So it's not going to work. And you can't put anything against a radiant barrier because then it doesn't work. It becomes a conductor. So you omit that part of your package. I'd rather see you have that in your new custom home package.
Is the above our garage, you know, we have a section of attic that I've decked out and has a little storage, but it doesn't have any foam. You know, it's not insulated.
Good.
But do they normally put radiant barrier in the over the garage?
I don't know if they call it normal, but you can. But that's the only insulation you can use in a garage. You're not supposed to insulate a garage at all. It's just going to hold the heat in and make it worse when it gets really hot out. So never insulate a garage unless you air condition it. Don't insulate anything unless it's air conditioned or heated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, 713-572-4610. This is the time of year where you're pushing it. You need to call Colt over at U.S. Pool Builder. I know you want that pool. You want that spa. You want that lifestyle. But you keep putting it off. Don't. This is now February in the middle. Because they have to design it, then you have to build it, then you have to do all the landscaping around it. I mean, you're redoing your whole life in your backyard. And you'll get the personal service from the business owner, which is Colt at U.S. Pool Builder, to help you get through this process. He does fantastic jobs, does a fantastic job in working with the client. And each pool is professionally engineered. It exceeds the industry standards, which is not that good of the pool business. That's why he knows more about it than just about anybody. And it's going to deliver decades, because once it's in there, it stays in there a long time, of hassle-free relaxation and enjoyment. That's what it's all about. It's a great place to raise your family. I raised my family around a pool. My kids were always had my eyes on them. I always knew where they were. And it's really a lot of fun as a family to hang around the pool and barbecue and do all that good stuff. So U.S. Pool Builder is who you should call. You can find out more about them by going to homeshowradio.com and hit the U.S. Pool Builder icon. And that way, you'll be able to go directly to their website and see just the professional work they do. That is U.S. Pool Builder. Call Colt.
Now, back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
Call me. We'll talk. Get your questions out of the way and get on with your day. You won't have to wait long at all. All right, let's see here. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, you're on Home Show Radio.
Morning, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I got a couple of flooring questions I wonder if I could ask you about.
Sure.
I got wood floors, and they need some work. Now, I've told my wife that having these wood floors, it's like walking on our dining room table. Is that a fairly accurate?
I say that all the time, so maybe, yeah, I would say so. All the time. Yeah, wood is beautiful, and people love natural wood floors, but it's not the most durable. It's one step up from dirt, and it's like walking on your table. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what kind of floors do you have in your home? You mind me asking?
I've got laminate floors all downstairs, and I have carpet all upstairs. And, of course, tile in the bathrooms.
And the laminate, you like that? You happy with it?
Yes, I've had it for 22 years. I wanted to replace it. My wife won't let me. She likes it a lot.
Do you have somebody you recommend for flooring?
Oh, yeah, Texas Floors.
Texas Floors?
Uh-huh.
On your website, it's homeshowradio.com?
Yes. They're very good. You'll see all kinds of stuff now. You can even get tile that looks like wood. You can get engineered wood. You can get, you know, traditional wood. Not a big fan of. You can get
and that laminate is durable, huh?
Very durable. And here's the deal with wood. It can only be so tough. Whether it's maple or oak, whatever you're choosing.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't make it tougher.
Yeah.
But when you get into laminates, because it's man-made, it can become very, very impact resistant and much more scratch resistant because you're able to make it as tough as you need it to be.
Now, so, the Texas floors, do they just sell the material or do they do the installation too?
Oh, no, they do it all.
Everything. Okay, great. Yeah, well, I appreciate the information. Thanks a lot.
They do a fantastic job when it comes to floor covering. Jason over there is always up with the latest and greatest products that are coming out, and they do their homework. They don't just sell it to you and put it down and not do all the moisture readings and all that good stuff to make sure it's going to last for you. And they also talk about your lifestyle. You know, when you have dogs, cats, whatever the case may be. In fact, now they even have pet-proof flooring, they call it. I don't have pets, but I guess some of you do, and you need a proof floor. Pet-proof. All right. Due West Foundation Repair is there to help you if your foundation is going cattywampus on you. That's right. Due West. One of the original. No, the original. I guess certified home show pro before we even use that word here on Home Show Radio since 1988. They've been a sponsor. They've been a supporter. and they are a certified Home Show Pro. They have developed the UltraPile system, which sets the standard for foundation repair. It really works well because it measures the load to the point. That's right. Every point of a house has a different load, and it measures it to the soil. It engineers itself, so it keeps it simple. Sometimes simple is better, but it works. And it has solid steel rebar down the middle to keep it all in alignment, and nobody else has this. That is why they're Due West is a Home Show certified pro, because they lead the way. Due West Foundation Repair. They raise homes. They do watering systems. If you have trees and stuff and you need to have a root barrier, they do that too, as well as fix your foundation and fix the underground plumbing problems when they have to tunnel up underneath there to do the foundation. They will fix the plumbing too. They want to make sure not only do they fix the foundation, but they fix the problem that caused the foundation to go bad. Due West Foundation Repair, 713-473-7156. When you want the best, you call Due West. Call me. Don't be shy. 713-572-4610. And we will talk. We go through the calls pretty quick. Let's talk to Rodney. Rodney, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
It's top insulation. Notice in my attic, my insulation starts to drop. I can start seeing some of the rafters. So my question is, what do you recommend? Just to roll up there, you know, every paycheck, I'll go out and buy a couple rolls and just get it done before summer hits. Also, I've seen a lot of stuff on, you know, the Craigslist type stuff, you know, bulk buy from us. I mean, what's your opinion about those places, too?
All you're looking for is fiberglass, unfaced fiberglass insulation. Okay?
Okay.
Whatever R value you choose. But you're looking for unfaced fiberglass. You can get expensive fiberglass that's going to have a brand name, and you can get just white, generic fiberglass insulation, which is fine if you want, if you're on a tight budget, and just buy that too. I don't care, as long as it's fiberglass, I'm good with it. That's the only kind of insulation I'll use.
Yeah. How thick?
Well, how much do you have up there now?
It's blown in, and it's a 30-year-old home. So
how thick do you think it is? 6 inches, eight inches, 12?
I'm gonna say 6 to 8 inches.
Okay, let's say 8 inches. What would be the easiest product? You have R16, R30. I think there's an R25 unfaced, which is about 10 inches thick. That would be a good product for you to get.
Okay.
You're going to want to add about another. If you want to get into a decent rating up around R30 or so, you're going to want about 10 inches.
Okay. So in this case, more is not better.
More is not better. It is not tequila.
Okay.
It is. Yeah. You know, I know that one. More is not better with tequila either, actually. But as far as that goes, no, more is not better. It hits a point where you get a diminishing return, and you just don't get anything for your money because of the outside and inside air temperature differences. It reaches a point where it peaks.
All right. Very good. That's what I was wanting to find out. So I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
So many of us want to do more. Say, oh, well, I did this. I'm going to do it twice as much. No, it doesn't work that way. Your money should be spent wisely because you work hard for it. At least a lot of you do. And we want you to use it wisely. All right. Let's talk to Eric. Eric, you're on Home Show Radio.
Yes. I've got a GE refrigerator side-by-side. And I'm wanting to replace, I guess it's the water coil or the water reservoir. I've seen it called two different things. But what I was wanting to know is, do I have to have a GE replacement part for that? Or can I use one like they have at Home Depot or Lowe's or what have you?
You're just redoing the coil of tubing?
Yeah, I guess it's just, you know, that 25 or 20 foot tubing.
Yeah, I had that refrigerator, the GE side-by-side. Mine was a piece of garbage. I got rid of it. But I know that where the tubing is, and I guess you could use any tubing you want. All it is a tube that's coiled up so the water sits there and gets cold. So that's up to you. I've never heard of anything being sold just, one size fits all. But if they have them, I'm sure you could use it.
Well, I showed up out there, and they did say that they had a replacement part. It wasn't made by GE, but that's fine. Coiled up.
Yeah.
But what my question was is, if I go to change that thing, shouldn't it have a gasket or O-ring or something on the end of that tubing to keep it from leaking back or leaking by? Because the way it shows, it's just a tubing. It's no gasket or anything.
Right.
And I didn't know.
That's what it is. There's no one-way valve on it of any kind. It's just a tube. And all it does is let the water sit there. And so when you go and get a cup of water out of the door, the water is colder. And they do it in a tube because it gets colder faster as opposed to putting it in a container. So,
yeah.
Because you have more surface area touching the cold.
So I should just be able to disconnect that tubing and put it back on, gasket, no nothing.
Yeah, all the refrigerators are like that now. And if they just make a replacement part that pretty much one size fits all, I'm sure it'll work fine. But it's don't overthink it. All it is just a coil of tube. You know. It's,
yeah, I just seen it wasn't any gaskets on the ends of it. And I was just like, man, I don't want to shove that thing in there and turn the water back on and it starts leaking, you know.
Well, you don't want that. So make sure you install it properly. But I don't know of any gasket, no.
All right. Well, thank you, man. Have a good day.
You're very welcome. I will. Let's talk to Ben. Ben, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom. Thinking about changing professions, honestly, kind of tired of what I'm doing and was thinking about trying to get into plumbing, but don't really have any experience. I didn't know if you could tell me kind of the best path to get into that, if there was a school or something I could go to or just what I would need to do for that.
Well, you have to start by registering with the state of Texas to be an apprentice, and you don't need any experience or anything for that. You just go online and do it, so you become an official apprentice plumber. And then you can go a couple ways. You can go to a school. And do independent, or you can go into an apprenticeship program. You can do either or.
But I'm sorry, I was going to say, am I able to do that while still working a full-time job, you know?
If the classes don't interfere, like night classes and weekend classes, sure.
Okay, great. And is there a actual school that you know of or something?
I don't know of any right anymore because I've been out of the business here in Houston. I'm working down at Texas Southmost College. I do have an apprentice plumbing program down there, but that's too far away for you. I'm not sure around here. You'll have to call some of the community colleges and see what they have. But I'll tell you this. Stay away from the two-year programs and go into a continuing education program if they have it, which is much more fast-tracked. You don't need to have a two-year degree.
Okay, so just look at the continuing education and then...
Yeah, I know at Houston Community College, I had a program there. I don't know if it's still in existence because I don't talk to anybody over there anymore. Hopefully it is. So you could start there with the continuing education department at HCC, San Jack, A-Leaf. I don't know exactly where you live. Lone Star, I don't know if they have any. But a lot of the community colleges are getting away from that, and some are getting more into it. That's why I had to move my career down to Brownsville.
Okay, that sounds great, Tom. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah, they just kind of didn't want to do it here anymore. They wanted two-year degrees, and that's it. So the community colleges kind of dropped their ball on that one because we had a heck of a program going a couple of years ago. I was running over 1,000 students through our doors and getting them jobs, and now I'm able to do the same thing down in Brownsville, but it sure is a lot of traveling, I'll tell you what. I'll be on a plane tomorrow night, and we'll be having our scaffolding program start up 8 o'clock Monday morning. So I will be there to start up the class. We have a two-week scaffolding program developed with Brand Safeway, a big company, and we have 100% people hired out of that program. It's pretty impressive. All right, Texas Floors is a store I was talking about earlier about really getting the job done right. Floor covering is something you invest in for a long period of time, and you want to make sure it's going to last a long period of time without getting torn up. Now, one of their specialties right now, and they asked me to tell you about, is all you pet lovers. You have that livestock running around your house, the dogs, the cats, and who else knows what you got in there? But they have pet-proof flooring now that is absolutely beautiful and will really hold up well to the pets. Let's face it, they got those 10 little nails scratching on your floors all the time, just walking around. And who knows what else they do, too. But they have the products for you. That's just one example of your lifestyle. You tell them, I got kids, I got this, I got that. And they'll say, well, we've got floor coverings that will hold up to that. Let us show them to you. And that's what they do. If they'll come to your house and you can shop at your home, or if you want, you can go visit their showroom at Spring Cypress at 290. They're there for you. That's Texas Floors, the certified home show pros for flooring of all kinds. The new slapdown designer vinyls are really popular right now, and they're carrying a lot of it. So go by and see them or give them a call and have an appointment made so they can come see you, tell them what you need, and they'll bring you all your samples. That's Texas Floors, the can-do flooring store.
Getting the yard and garden you really want is easy with help from the Home Show Garden Pros. Houston's leading independent, locally owned nurseries come together with Danny Milligan.
Saturday, 7 till 9.
What do y'all recommend as a weed killer?
Answering questions anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com. Videos, advice, tips, and the Garden Pros podcast. Always on,
always free.
Helping you be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros. Saturday, 7 till 9 on Sports Radio 610.
And online anytime
at homeshowgardenpros.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.